Well, last week we started this series called Small Things, Big Difference, and basically talking about the idea that it's often the small things that no one sees that result in the big things that everyone wants. And this time of year, there are a lot of people that want something big to change in their life. They want something big to be different. They want their experience in 2020 to be different in a big way than it was in 2019. And the problem with that, those are all good things. The problem is sometimes it's not always the big steps, the big changes that result in the difference. It's sometimes the very small things. Small things done consistently over time, or one small adjustment, 1% in a certain direction over time makes a big difference. And we've talked about different areas of our life that one small adjustment, one small little focus point in this area might make a big difference. We're going to talk about words and actions and habits and relationships. Today we're going to talk about thoughts. Last week we talked about faith. A little faith in a big God goes a long way. And if your faith isn't as big as you want it right now, start where you are. But don't focus on the size of your faith. Focus on the size of your God. And then take small steps that will grow your faith over time. Well, today we're going to talk about this idea of thoughts, because what you think about really matters a lot. And I want to challenge you to think about what you think about. Like, to really be intentional about it. Like, to monitor. Be aware of what you're thinking about. I have some really good news and some really bad news for you. The good news is God created you with this thing called a brain, and it's very, very powerful. It remembers, it processes, it imagines, it's creative, it tells stories. That's the good news. Here's the bad news. God gave you this thing called a brain that's very powerful and very creative, and it remembers, and it processes, and it tells stories. It imagines. What you let your brain do will often shape who you are. Craig Groeschel says, life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Like when you're learning to ride a bike and they tell you don't hit the mailbox, you're probably going to hit the mailbox because that's all you can think about. I remember when Emmitt Smith, the Hall of Fame running back for the Dallas Cowboys, God's team, he was told by his coach, he noted that his coach Jimmy Johnson would never tell him don't fumble. He would tell him hold on to the ball. Because if your mind gets focused on something, if it thinks about something, sometimes it's just, you ever heard the term self-fulfilling prophecy? I want God-fulfilling prophecy, not self-fulfilling prophecy. I don't trust me that much. And what you think about will kind of usually end up manifesting itself in some way or other. You can really change your life by changing your thoughts to a certain degree. Proverbs 23:7 in the King James Version says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. If you think you can't, you're probably right. If you think you can, you probably will. If you dwell on your problems, they will overwhelm you. If you look for opportunities, you'll probably see them. If you feel like the victim, you'll become one. You'll probably get stuck there. But if you believe you can overcome, you probably can. Like, thoughts are very, very powerful because God gave you this brain that's very powerful. So I want you to think about what you think about. So let's just do a thought audit, a little test. This isn't the kind of test you need to study for, okay? So don't panic. It's not a test that'll be graded, but it really is important how you answer. I want to give you several categories on the think on a scale of 1 to 10, and actually kind of 1 meaning 1 and 10 being the other, where you are in terms of your thought process. For instance, are your thoughts on a scale of 1 to 10? 1 would be very worried, 10 would be very peaceful. Think about this last week. Where would your thoughts be, leaning more toward worried or more toward peaceful? Obviously, peaceful would be the goal. No one wakes up and goes, I really hope I worry today. That would be really awesome. Like, peaceful. Like, where would you have thought? Just think this last week. Again, if you're not sure, I can't remember where my thoughts were. You probably need to pay attention to that. They're pretty powerful. Were your thoughts peaceful or worried? Were you worried about money, health, job, future, your kids, your spouse, your parents, your friends? Or did you find yourself kind of leaning more, focusing more on God's promises? Doing what you can to trust, to be full of peace, and to take small steps of faith. Where'd you fall this last week? Let's go to another category. Were your thoughts more negative or positive? Were your thoughts more seeing the problems, or were your thoughts more seeing the truth? What was true to be? And it doesn't mean burying your head in the sand and being an ostrich. You can define reality, but still have a positive outlook. Were you critical of people? Did you find fault? Were you discontent? Or did you believe the best about people? Believe that life really is, that tomorrow will be a better day than today in some way? Were you optimistic about the future? Negative thoughts never lead to a positive life, and so it's important to be aware of. And again, don't beat yourself up over if you're ever negative. Define reality. Where are your thoughts these days? Think about what you think about. Where were they? And then there's this third category. This is kind of more of a spiritual focus. Like, were your thoughts more on worldly, on what's going on here, or eternal things? Sometimes we have a 50-year mindset. What's going to happen in the next 50 years? I would encourage you to have a 500-year mindset. Years after you're gone, what will matter in eternity and the difference you're making for eternity here? Is your mind consumed with this life, material things, being liked by people? Or the eternal difference that God wants you to make and the eternal difference he makes in your life? So kind of tally up your score there, although I'm not going to ask for grades. I'm not going to do a show of hands. But kind of think about where you were this week. And if you scored all 10s, man, would you please come up and finish my message for me? Because I didn't do so well on this test. And I, to be honest, I didn't study. So maybe that's why. But like, if you didn't score all 10s, there might be something here for you in the message. If you did score all 10s, man, share that with somebody. Help people understand how you got there. But for many of us, we're not there. The other place I'd ask you to think about yourself this week, like, how am I doing in these areas? The other area I'd ask you to pay attention to is the voice in your head. You know, like we have that voice that talks to ourselves? Mine doesn't sound like Morgan Freeman, but I kind of wish it did. You know, like that voice in our head, it probably sounds like somebody. And it could be you. Like, how do you talk to you kind of when no one hears it? Because some of us talk to ourselves in a way that we wouldn't let anybody talk to us that way. But we talk to ourselves with a really bad tone, saying some really bad things. Or maybe somebody in your past is the voice in your head, and that's what you hear. Like, pay attention to what's happening in an area of your life that no one, aside from you and God, can see, hear, or know. Pay attention to that. Because I want you to think about what you think about, what you're giving voice to, because it really does matter. The Apostle Paul said part of this idea of how we are shaped in life is kind of talks about it in Romans 12 too. He says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, or do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Like, one of those two things is happening. You're either being conformed, being shaped, copying the pattern of this world, are you being transformed to look like Jesus? One of the two things I think is happening all the time. And God has promised he started something with you. If you started a relationship with him, he started something in you that he's going to work on your whole life of shaping you, transforming you. And he says that Paul says what he knows in his life, a lot of that's happened about being transformed to look like Christ has happened by the renewing of his mind. To be made new in your mind. That your thoughts wouldn't conform to anybody else's standards but God's. But there are a lot of things in this world that have its fingerprints all over your brain trying to shape it, giving voice to you, giving belief systems to you, giving thoughts to you by the renewing of your mind. And here's why it matters. Because if you have a renewed mind that's transformed to look like Christ, here's what it opens up for you. He goes on to say this. Then, when that happens, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Like, have you ever wondered, I wonder what God's plan for me is next? Some of you are in a season of life like, I'm not sure what's next, or I'm not sure what to do about this. Well, when your mind is transformed and renewed, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. And what you'll find out is what Paul found out, his plan for me is really good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. Your mind might be getting in the way of what God has in mind for you. A renewed mind is necessary. So how do you do that? I want to give you two things that kind of help. One is you need to capture destructive thoughts. When you find yourself thinking about, you think about what you're thinking about, and you go, well, that's a really destructive thought. Capture it. Take hold of it and get rid of it. 2 Corinthians 10, Paul says, there's a battle going on, but we fight this battle differently. Go ahead. Though we live in the world, that's true for all of us here, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, the tools that God gives us to fight our battles, they have divine power. It's not just empowered by you, divine, God-empowered to demolish strongholds. If you feel like there's areas in your life where you're stuck and they have a stronghold, it is dug in and that's not a good thing, they have strength to overcome them. What is it? We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought. You capture the destructive thoughts and make it obedient to Christ. Some of us have wanted to do what God wants us to do, but we keep failing. I want to do what God wants me to do when we fail. I want to do what God wants me to do when we fail. We can't be obedient because our thoughts aren't obedient. We are following our thoughts. That's keeping us from following Christ. That's why Jesus has to be Lord of our thoughts. Who's in charge of your thoughts? It's a battle, and you wage war, and you take captive every thought. If you think you can't, you think you won't, we think we're not good enough. We think we can't change. We think we'll never be happy. We think we can't make a difference after what I did, not what I did or what I'm doing. Like, God could never use me. But when you turn the corner and say, no, I am who God says I am, there's something powerful in that. The thoughts we need to make obedient to Christ often involve how we think of ourselves or how we think of others. We may seem stuck in life, but when we realize I can overcome anything because Jesus overcame the grave for me. When you think you've blown it, you remember, no, God works all things for good, and I'm forgiven by the grace and forgiveness of Jesus. Capturing destructive thoughts is one of the first things you have to do. You can't let them make themselves at home in your head. Martin Luther said, you cannot keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. Like, things get put in our head, and we don't always have control over what gets in. We have more control than we think sometimes. But we can control who gets to pay, who gets to stay there, who gets to build a nest there, who gets to live there. So the first thing is you capture destructive thoughts. Second thing is this: you fix your thoughts on spiritual things. And much like Jimmy Johnson told Emmett Smith, rather than don't fumble, he told him, hold on to the ball. So we just talked about don't fumble. Capture the destructive thoughts. But fix your eyes on spiritual things. That's the second thing. That's more of the positive outset. Colossians 3:2, the Apostle Paul said, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Set your mind. Fix your mind. There's something where we have a choice about where will my thoughts be focused. So I would challenge you this week, today, choose to filter your thoughts. To be aware, think about what you think about, but to be intentional. Fix your eyes. Have a plan. Set out to do something. The Apostle Paul's plan, he shared it with us in Philippians 4, was this. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. Like, make a choice to fix it on something. And the filter he used was this. This would be a great filter to think about what you're thinking about. Whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if it's excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. If it's not, don't. And sometimes this will be easier to do in one or the other. Sometimes we need to hear this about how we think about ourselves. Sometimes we need to hear this about how we think about others. Both are important. How you think about anything, but especially people, it really matters. When you're thinking about something, is it true? Is it noble? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? If somebody could read my thoughts, scary thought, right? If somebody could read my thoughts and they saw what I was thinking, they go, well, that's so admirable. I really admire you for what you're thinking about that person right now. That's cringe laughter, isn't it? If it's excellent or praiseworthy, if it's something like, God, this is something worth celebrating, that's what you should think about. Think about such things. He went on to say later, he said, if you do these things and put it into practice, the peace of God will be with you. That blows your mind. It goes beyond comprehension. There's something about what we think about, this filter, that's really, really important. And one of the things that I thought about this week for me, because this is a struggle for me, that just because I think it doesn't make it true. Just because I think something doesn't mean it's true. And what we do a lot of times is I think about what you're thinking about me, and then I think that's truth. And you might be, that's not what I'm thinking about you. That's not truth. Here's the other thing. Just because you think that about somebody doesn't make it true either. Sometimes we think about something, just because I think it doesn't make it true. But here's the problem. It seems like it's true. What we think about, we just, no filter, no test, no background check. Oh, that's true. That's truth. And we think about it and think about it and think about it. So just because I think it doesn't make it true, but it feels like it's true. So that means I must think about only what is true. Think about what's truth. And truth through God's filter. Truth through His input. And so this week, as you think about what you think about your filter, something like this. Does it pass a test that it's worth kind of processing in my mind or not? And think about your input. Like, what is it you're feeding your mind? Who has a voice that's getting to be a voice in your head because they're a voice out loud? Because they have a seat next to you at school. They work with you and you see them in the break room at work. Because they're in the family room. Like, who is it that has a voice that you're giving voice? And think about the input. Consider opening up the Bible this week and letting God be that input. Using the Bible app. Turning the radio or Spotify to Christian worship music. Doing Bible studies or things like that. Being prayerful, being thankful. Think about your filter and think about your input. You know, there's two very, very different types of birds. And I don't think they ever get tossed in the same sentence together. There's vultures and there's hummingbirds. And they both do this very similar thing, that they're on the hunt every day looking for something to eat. A vulture looks for something that's dead. It's really gross. A hummingbird looks for something that's very sweet and really probably a bad diet. Someone should probably talk to the hummingbird. Like, I'm surprised there's not more diabetic hummingbirds, because they drink like that sugar water, right? Like, that's what they drink. But it's basically nectar. But anyway, let's assume like one is truth and one is trash. Vultures are trash. Hummingbirds are truth. Like, what kind of bird are you going to be? Are you going to wake up every day looking for trash or looking for truth? And if you're going to show up every day looking for truth, how are you doing it? What's your plan? They say that most people that have a health choice at the start of the year, have a diet, like diet goals, health goals, usually they have to have a very intentional plan of what they will eat and what they won't eat. And the more intentional it is, the more likely they are to follow it. How intentional is your spiritual diet plan for this week? About what you will take in and what you won't take in. And are you focusing on, because if you don't choose one or the other, you're probably going to lean toward a vulture. You're going to look for trash. One of the key areas of battle that you look for this trash or truth kind of mentality. About it's very important to have a filter and an input kind of control on your thoughts. And a key area of the battle is our identity in Christ, about who God says we are. That I am who God says I am. And there's two great battles, I think, in your life. One was at the cross, securing your place as a child of God. God's done everything to make that possible. That's a done deal. It's yours for the taking, should you choose it. But then the second battle that happens after that is for our identity in Christ, about us agreeing with and living out who Christ says we are. The first battle's been fought. It's yours to accept or reject. The second battle is a choice that you must make. That I will agree with who God says I am, and I will live as if that's true. You are not what you think you are. And the danger is, over time, what you think, you are. That if we think I'm a failure, if we think that we're rejected, but God says differently, eventually what will win out is what you think about the most, and you'll believe something that's not true about you. The key, and one of the filters you have to use as you think about your thoughts, is I am who God says I am. Paul was writing to the Ephesians and telling about this spiritual battle and a key to winning it. And he said this in Ephesians 4, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, the way you lived before Jesus was in charge of your life. And if your life doesn't look any different from when you were in charge versus when Jesus was in charge, you may want to pay closer attention to that. Because if Jesus is in charge, it'll usually look different. But it's not just the outside, it's the inside. It's our identity. It's who we are. You put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires. That's what Jesus came to destroy and to die for. And he asks us to die to self, to our old self, but to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That's who you are in Christ. But before you can put on the new self, sometimes it's an attitude of the mind that has to be transformed and renewed and changed. That I am who God says I am. That's why we need God's truth in our life, because our mind is very powerful. We need reminders like Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We need reminders that I can trust God with everything that I can't control because he's in control. God's in charge. To believe the truth the Bible teaches is that with God's help, I can change. To be reminded, like we talked about last week, it's not by my strength or my power, but by God's Spirit. That's how we fight our battles. To believe that God really did make us to be generous because he's generous. He really did make us to be forgiving because he's forgiving. He really did make us to be his kids. That's why he came for us. That's why he died for us. See, your thoughts, a small change will make a big difference. And if you could just this week think about what you think about, the battle could turn. You may feel like you're in a losing battle right now. The battle can turn. And if you don't know you're in a battle right now, you're probably losing the battle and don't know it. This is the language that Paul uses. This is the language that Jesus uses. This is the language that God wants you to know about. That there's a battle, and one of the battlegrounds, key battlegrounds, is your mind. And the battles we're fighting, or we're not fighting, will be, but we need to fight, are often won or lost in our thought life. So this week, think about what you think about. Audit it. Fact check. Be highly suspicious of anything that comes in your mind and say, can I really trust this? Be a conspiracy theorist when it comes to your mind. I'm kind of a conspiracy theorist at heart. I grew up in Dallas. I'm obsessed with the JFK assassination. Like, it was just in my dad was obsessed with it, so I picked that up, and I lived in Dallas and went down there. It's made me suspicious of almost everything and everyone. Yeah, you too. I mean, all of you. Yeah, it really is. Think about that for a while. But the thing is, the way that serves me well is when someone tells me something, before I try and let it, I wish I was better at this than I say. I want to filter it. Can I really trust that truth? Can I really trust it? I think God has earned the right to be trusted based on his track record. So let him be the filter for what is truth in your life. Sometimes our thoughts reflect our feelings. Don't let your feelings guide your thoughts. Let Jesus lead your thoughts. When you follow Jesus, one of the areas he needs to get control of is our mind. And one of the things that makes a key difference for that, for me, is just spending time daily by reading the Bible. In this time of year, a lot of people set lofty goals to read through the Bible in a year, and they make it sometimes to Leviticus, you know, and stall out or whatever. Like, don't think about making a plan for a year, and if I fail, I'll pick it up next year. I'll try again next year. Just every day is a new day. And what's one small thing that can make a big difference in your thought life? And it might be just reading a little bit of the Bible every day. The advice that was given me that transformed the way I read and applied the Bible was very, very simple. It was one small thing. And really, from that time forward, it changed the way I read the Bible. And the advice to me was given, he says, focus less on what your plan is. Have a plan. Have something that says, hey, you should read this next. Maybe it's reading through a book of the Bible, or maybe it's following a plan, like we have a reading plan for every series here at Live Oak, or maybe it's like a verse of the day from the YouVersion Bible app, or whatever it is. Have some kind of plan. But the thing about having the plan is the end of the goal of the plan is not to check the box off. It's not like if you're doing it electronically where it says, oh, you've got a 10-day streak going. That's great, it motivates you, but that's not the goal. The goal is to get truth into your life. So if you can check the box off that I read it today, I check the box off is, did I take one truth from God's word that I'll apply to my life today? One truth that I'll apply to my life today. That's when I check the box. Okay, that's the thing. And then what I do is I try to think about it over and over and over again as it goes throughout the day. like, hey, how does that truth impact me now as I'm in the car driving? How does it impact me now as I'm here doing business at some place? Or how does it impact me now that I'm with home or at work or with friends, whatever it is? How does that one truth apply to me here? There's a great exhortation to do that in Psalm 1 where we're encouraged to do that. Psalm 1, it says this, blessed is the one, like most of us want, say, hey, how was your year? Oh, it was really blessed. Like, truthfully, like I look back, I go, man, I was so blessed. Well, he kind of says, here's the one who's blessed. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners. So your relationships matter. We'll get to that later in this series. Or stand in the way sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. Here's who is blessed. Whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. When we heard the word meditate, it's got some baggage for us. There's different ways to think about this word meditate. The way the Bible talks about it is not the way sometimes we think about it. Kind of the Eastern philosophy version of meditation is to empty the mind. It's kind of this concept of the empty garden, empty the mind. I'm like, my mind's pretty empty to begin with. I get that, but that it's not about emptying the mind. It's actually about, when the Bible talks about meditate, it's about focusing. It's about one thing. I'm going to focus on one truth over and over and over again. I'm not going to check the box and move on. I'm going to find a truth and I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to prayerfully, with God's guidance, think about it over and over and over again. To think with repeated focus. That's what it means when it says meditates. What it says here is, blessed is the one who thinks about God's truth over and over and over. And some of the reasons we failed is we checked a box. I read the Bible. Well, but you didn't do anything with it. It was the bird that just kind of flew overhead. It didn't make a nest in your hair. Like, it didn't stay. You need to capture truth and hold on to it. Fix your eyes. Set your minds on things above. He goes on to say this. That person who does that on a regular basis is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Like, I want to be healthy, prospering, fruitful in my life. God says, me too. Do you trust me enough to be the truth focus of your life? To take my truth and focus on it over and over again. Because those seeds bear fruit. From those seeds, truth grows. God's plans grow. So what is it and what's your plan for getting one truth and thinking on it over and over and over again? Because most would say that's what we want to be. So I would just challenge you. In some way, put God's truth in your mind every day and carry it with you throughout the day. Sometimes it's writing it on a sticky note or putting it on the wallpaper of your phone. Setting a reminder that pops up a verse, not just once a day, but the verse of the day pops up like three or four times a day and you think about it for a minute. Or you pray about that verse, God, I hear what you're saying about this. Help me understand how to live that out. What does that look like for me and go through the different roles you play in life as a husband, as a dad, as a friend, as an employee, as an employer, like all those things. The battles you're fighting, or you're not fighting but need to fight, are often won and lost in our thought life. It's not the power of positive thinking that changes our life, but it's the fact that we have a God that gave us a very good news, bad news, powerful mind, that if we take care of it and follow the directions our Creator gave us, it'll work fantastically well. It'll change the way you think about yourself, the way you think about others, the way you think about the world. What you feed it matters. What you focus on matters. And there is no better focus than focusing on Jesus. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's what Hebrews 12:1 says. And when your eyes are fixed on Jesus, he's the author, the one who started it, and the perfecter, the one who's going to ultimately make your life and faith correct as it was supposed to be written, as you were designed to live. That's where your eyes need to be fixed. But if you go into a Monday without a plan of how to fix your eyes on Jesus and focus on truth, something else or someone else will get a voice in your ear that'll put thoughts in your head, that'll shape the way you think about yourself, others, and the world, that is not the way God has in mind. And then you're a tree that does not prosper, and it doesn't bear fruit. And it all goes back to that. What's the one truth from God that I need to focus on most right now? Focus is your friend, and so is Jesus. So let him help you define your focus. Maybe this is a great daily prayer. Psalm 104:34. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. And if you just made that a regular prayer, God, may my thoughts, my focused thought be pleasing to you as I rejoice in you and I focus on you. If that was your just prayer on a regular basis, think how your thoughts might be different. This week, think about what you think about and let God give input to what you think about.